Gospel of John, I've often, without exaggeration, I have often had it said to me around this time of the year, somebody knowing I was a preacher, I've had it often said to me, well, this must be your busy time of the year. And I try to be respectful, and I kind of try to find a way of saying, no more than usual. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Sunday. One of the purposes of our coming together is to praise our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And I don't use that word easily. I use it sincerely. We're to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Sunday morning. We ought to have a spirit of celebration. Quit acting like we've just lost our best friend or the cat got run over or some terrible thing has happened. Let's come into the house of the Lord with praise. We're so blessed, and we're a blessed people. And we need to celebrate that glorious resurrection every single Lord's Day that we come together. I forget where it was I saw it. It was on a house going up for sale around the corner from us. And now when they put houses on the market, before they put it on the market, they put it on the market by saying, coming soon. Coming soon. This house is going to be available to be looked at soon. And I looked at those words, coming soon. I go, yeah, he's coming soon. That's where our mind needs to be. He's risen. We're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he is coming soon. Are you ready? I hope you are. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. Verse 37 through 39, first of all. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. As he came into Jerusalem at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, and all that the Feast of Tabernacle represented, he cried in verse 37 and 38, this festival of the people, this celebration of water. Every day they would go and fetch a golden vessel of water and they'd bring it to the temple and they'd pour it out. And the priest would have a procession every single day for 7 days. And after those 7 days, I see Jesus Christ standing up and basically saying, this is all about me. I am living water. I am the source of the water of life. If anybody is thirsty, how in the world can someone who's dead in their trespasses and sins be thirsty if God makes them thirsty? If God draws them unto his Son? If any man is thirsty, if any man is being drawn, hungry and thirsty for life, come unto me. Believe on me, receive me, and you'll receive this life-giving water. And this water will fill you, satisfy you, and this water will flow from you, and you will be a blessing to others. We looked at that last week, and I don't want to rehash it. Well, correction, I really want to rehash it, but I'm not going to let myself rehash it. But a person who has the Spirit of God working upon them, quickening them and make them alive, they're thirsty, they're hungry, Christ calls them to come. Come unto me. I'm the only one who can satisfy you. And if you'll come, you'll be satisfied, you'll be filled. And then in those words, the Spirit will be within you, the Spirit will flow from you. Those are evidences of salvation. You say you're saved. You profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Do you have that satisfaction of Christ within you? Do you have that satisfaction of the Holy Spirit present? Is the Holy Spirit flowing from you? Flowing from you. And are you being a blessing to someone else? Those that are dead in their trespasses and sins, they need us to flow out to them. Our brothers and sisters in Christ need us to flow out to them, and we need them to flow to us. All of us who are members of this church, we need to flow and seek to be a blessing to others. And we don't hear a lot of talk about that. It's all about gimme, 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 gimme. What am I going to get? What am I going to get? What's going to be done for me? Well, a true Christian's attitude is, what can I do for someone else? Am I filled? Am I content? Am I flowing? Am I being a blessing to others? Now, he spake concerning the Holy Spirit. And after his death, burial, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit was going to be given. There was a different feast, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Pentecost had to do with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that was something that you found in the spring of the year, whereas the Feast of Tabernacles you found in the fall of the year. So he's looking forward, he's projecting forward to those that would be saved. Then let's quickly read, and I have to read these from my thought to make any sense, I think. Verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet that Moses spoke of in the Old Testament. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands upon him. Verse 46. The officers, the ones who were sent to arrest Christ or seize them for the Pharisees and them, the officers answered, never a man spake like this. Never a man spake like this. Then in verse 47 through the remainder of this chapter, the officers, the leaders of the Jews' religion and the leaders of the Pharisees are looking to get Christ. Arrest him, put him on trial, have him killed, have him slain, have him eliminated. And Nicodemus, remember Nicodemus from... Where would you find that? What, John somewhere? Maybe around chapter 3? Yeah, I think so. You knew that, right? That's what I'm asking. You knew that, right? Nicodemus resurfaces and says, wait a minute now. He's now a defender of Christ. Whether he's saved or not, still up for discussion. But he's defending Christ and he's saying, is it not... the case in our law that, let me paraphrase it, that a man's innocent until proven guilty? Sounds a lot like our system. That's what he kind of puts before them. Doth our Lord judge any man before hear him and know what he doeth? Now, jump over to chapter 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that cometh or followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. I was reading a man who was preaching a sermon from John chapter 7, verse 37, 38, 39. And the title of his message was, Jesus Preached a Dud. Jesus Preached a Dud. His point being, you look at all the different reactions. Jesus preached, but it didn't turn the world upside down. He was still a confusion to people. He was still rejected by many people. There were still those who wanted to see him slain. There were still those who were unmoved because Christ had said, unless the Father draw you, you cannot come. You will not come. And so it doesn't look like there was any great overwhelming change of things from what Christ preached. He was preaching in relationship to the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. And in the Feast of Booths, we already talked about the water. And he stands up in verse 37 and 38 and says, that's me. I am the water life. I am the eternal life. I am the everlasting life. If you're thirsty, you come. Come to me. I'll satisfy you. I'll satisfy your quench. Well, our text is going to be verse number 12. Because it's in the same setting that I believe Jesus Christ is saying what he says in verse number 12. Another sermon in connection with the tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacles. Because in the Feast of Tabernacles, there wasn't just the emblem, the water being taken each day and gathered in a golden vessel and brought back and poured out. And Christ is not just saying, I'm that living water. But as I understand it, there were four huge menorahs that were lit as a part of the Feast of Tabernacles. And I read several sources where these menorahs were 75 feet tall. And there were four of them. And it was called the Illumination of the Temple. It was a part of the Feast of Tabernacle. So there is, in the Feast of Tabernacle, the element of not just the water, but of the light. And there's so many things you can spend time gleaning and studying and considering. Try not to get lost on me yet, on a sidetrack or a rabbit's trail. But they didn't have wax candles. They didn't burn wax candles. I don't think candles of wax were yet made. But their lamps and these menorahs would have burnt oil. What is the oil symbolic of in New Testament thinking? It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And these vessels or these menorahs would have had oil put in them and maintained in them. And these four menorahs would have lit the area that was dedicated to the women and close to the court of the women there was the treasury. where Christ most likely sat when he said, look at that woman casting in those two pennies. She's brought more than all the rich folks did together. But these menorahs were oil burners, most likely olive oil of sorts. And it says it is said that the wicks were strips of the priestly garments from previous years that were worn out. Their garments were torn into strips, used as wicks out of these lights. These four menorahs, 75 feet high, would have given great light. And as these menorahs gave their great light, again, this was a spirit of celebration. This was a spirit of joy. It was, I called it like our Thanksgiving. This was all positive. They were to celebrate how the Lord brought them through the wilderness. They were to celebrate how the Lord delivered them from the wilderness and brought them out. They were to celebrate how the Lord gave them the rock, how the Lord gave them the water, and they never lacked for water, no matter how ignorant they behaved. God always provided that rock, and God always provided that rock and that water, and God always provided the light. When did the light appear? The light appeared at night, representing the presence of God, the presence of God's Spirit. And then, during the day, God sent a great cloud, and that cloud stood over them, and then when it was time to move, that cloud would move, and they would move. When it stopped, they would stop. And Jesus Christ is here saying in verse number 12, in relationship to the element of light in the Feast of Tabernacles, I am that light. I am that light. I am what that light represented. I am, he says in verse number 12, I am the light of the world. This is the second, I believe, second place where Christ says, I am, out of uniquely seven times he speaks that phrase in the Gospel of John. Second place he says, I am. He's taking a name to himself, basically where he's saying, I am God. I am God. I am the Son of God. It was a name, it was a title that said, God is present with you. What a statement. I am the water. I am the eternal water. I am that rock. I am the light. I am God. I am God's presence with you. Today, as we're gathered here, I believe with all my heart, we need to hear Jesus saying the words to that effect, I am. I am, meaning he's God. By him saying to us this morning, I am, he is saying God's present with us. Do you feel that presence? Do you consider that presence? Do you give it any thought at all? That when we gather together and the Lord has promised where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them, that by his promising to be in our midst and to be present with us, he is in essence telling us that God is present with us. Do you have a God-like presence attitude this morning? Did you come into God's house with the reverence and the respect and even a little bit of fear thinking about God is here? We're meeting with God. We're meeting with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you even think about Jesus saying, I am, this morning? Makes everything else pale in comparison. I am. I am the light of the world. John chapter 9, just a page or so over. John chapter 9, verse number 5, Jesus Christ speaking. You notice the red letter, there's a clue. As long as I am in the world, he's told us in our text 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. And he says in John 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 35 and 36. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. I am the light of the world. Just a little while is the light with you. While you have the light present, believe. Believe. Look at Psalms 84. Psalms 84. Psalm 84. Verse 10 and 11. I'm just throwing in verse 10 because it sounds so good. And it is a probing verse. It's a sobering verse. It's a verse that you got to ask yourself, is that how I feel? What am I talking about? Verse 10 says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Is that your attitude? We've talked about the presence of the Lord and him being the I am, and by his being present with us meant that God is present with us. I've asked you, did you come into God's house feeling the presence of God with that respect and that awe that we're going into the presence of God? Well, along those same lines, I'm asking you, do you have the mindset, a day in church, a day going to church, a day in the house of the Lord is better than a thousand anywhere else? Now what we're going to do is we're going to hook you up to a machine on your way out. And this machine is going to read your mind. It's going to tell us whether or not that's true. I wish. I wish. Not so. Only you know. A day in the house of the Lord is the hardest, most miserable, boring, laboring day possible. No. A day in the house of the Lord is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Brother Eric is our doorkeeper. He's blessed. He's a blessed man. I think his spirit is right. I think he counts it a joy. I know there's not a whole lot of people stampeding to take his job from him. I don't want to have to get to church early. I don't want to have to stay a little bit late. I don't want to have to be bothered with locking doors and unlocking doors. I want to come. I want to make a quick visit, and I want to make a quick escape, and I want to get out of here with any complications. But the attitude of a Christian should be, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather stand at the door, open it and close it, open and close it, week after week after week, open and close it. I'd rather do that than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And the tents of wickedness is most likely where some of you were last night. Ooh. See, now you understand why I said I wanted to read this verse for the benefit. What benefit? You're probably still looking. A day in the courts, thy courts, God's house, it is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Well, We've just read that Jesus says, I am God's presence with you. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. See, you'd rather be opening and shutting the door at God's house than to dwell inside of the tents of wickedness and all that the world has to offer. I was reading, not reading, but I was following along with Brother Andy's reading from Proverbs, and I was thinking and feeling what the Lord was leading me to do as far as John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. And when he read that, it sealed it. We're going to have to look at John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11 tonight. Consider some things from that passage of Scripture, and it might get a little uncomfortable for some, but that's all right. But in the next verse, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Might as well read verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Blessed, happy is the one who trusts in him. Where do you stand? Are you blessed? Do you consider yourself blessed? Are you happy? Then the question would be, are you trusting in him? The Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord, I love that phrase. He will give grace and glory. Amen. Grace and glory. What a phrase. He gives us grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. 1 John 1 verse 5, we won't turn there. It says God is light. God is light. So in this 12th verse of John chapter 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, pay attention. When I get on this subject, I often say, and I say that truthfully, I often say this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. And I think I can say that this morning, if you're here and you're lost. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am God. I am God's presence with you. The Lord has promised to be with us. The presence of God is among us. It's better to be a doorkeeper in God's house than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We'd rather open and shut the door at God's house than to have all that the world has to offer. Jesus says in relationship to the Feast of Tabernacles and the lighting of those menorahs and those great lights that lit the temple, he says, I am that light that represents me. I am the light of the world. I'm not the light of some. I'm not the light of most. He's the light of the world, meaning he's the only light there is. He's the only light God has given. There are no other cisterns you can go to. There are no other avenues. There are no other ways. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the source of living water. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And the most important message you're ever going to hear, if you're here and you're yet without Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know who you are, hear Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, and hear him saying, he that followeth me, he that followeth me. Jesus pronounces the blessing similar to what he did there in chapter 7, 37 and 38. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, What's it mean to follow in this text? The word followeth means to believe. It has to do with that receiving of Jesus Christ. It's an expression that is satisfied by one's coming to Christ. All that the Father gives me, Jesus says, will come. But then he went on to say, they can't come. But all that the Father gives me will come, and they will come when the Lord draws them, when the Lord quickens them, when the Lord makes them alive, when the Lord draws them to come. I am the light of the world. Those that believe, those that follow me, those that come to me, he promises there shall not walk in darkness anymore. Most important message you're ever going to hear is Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And you must follow him. You must believe. You must receive him as your Lord and Savior in order to be saved. You can't just have a head knowledge and be able to quote some statistics and some facts about Jesus Christ. You need to know that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. You need to know that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. For you. God's got to make that real to you. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me. Look over to John 12 again. John chapter 12. We read verse 35 and verse 36. 36 once again. While you have light. Well, who's the light? Jesus is the light. While you have light, what's he speaking of? While the light is present, while you have opportunity. I wonder if that could mean right now. I think it does. Because you have no promise of tomorrow. You don't have any promise of next week or a month from now. All you have is right now. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, he that believes in me, he who expresses that thought of following him, by coming unto him, you are the children of God. You become the children of God, verse 36 continues to say. But look at verse number 46. Christ speaking again. Listen, I am come a light into the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me will not walk in darkness. I have come as a light into this world. Well, why did you come as a light into this world? That whosoever believeth on him should not abide in darkness. I said it last week. I'll say it again. I'm not afraid to say when Jesus says come, he means what he says. When the scriptures say whosoever receives him, whosoever believes in him shall be saved, I don't apologize for telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says, whosoever will. Well, what does the Bible mean by that? The Bible means by that, whosoever will. Yes, they can't come unless the Father draw them. Yes, they can't come unless the Holy Spirit brings them to Christ. That's all understood. But that's not what we're supposed to preach. We're to preach Jesus is the light of the world, and all those that follow him, whosoever will follow him, whosoever will come to him, will not walk in darkness. I am come unto the world, into the world, that whosoever believeth, means what it says, folks, believeth on me shall not perish in darkness, will not perish in darkness. Chapter 20 of John, verse 31. John 20. Verse 31. Verse 30 says that there were many signs truly that Jesus did in the presence of the disciples. Yeah, maybe many disciples, most likely the apostles, most likely specifically. He did many things in the presence of the disciples, many things that are not recorded, many things that are not written. In the book of John, in the book as far as the Bible as a whole, take your pick. verse 31. But these are written. Why are the things recorded that are recorded in John? Why are the things we're looking at this morning? Why are they recorded in John? Why do we read the words of Jesus Christ? I am the light of the world. Whosoever followeth me will not dwell in darkness. Why are those words written? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You see why this is the most important message you're ever going to hear? Because it doesn't matter who preaches it. It doesn't matter what the context. When sinners hear that Jesus Christ died upon the cross to save sinners, and when sinners hear, if you'll come, when sinners hear the call to come, when sinners hear the call to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and sinners hear the promise, thou shalt have everlasting life, thou shalt live forever, that's the most important message they're ever going to hear in life. You may leave here and never set foot in this church again, and you might make millions and millions and millions of dollars, and your name might be more famous than Donald Trump. But you're never going to hear a more important message than Jesus Christ died to save sinners. You need to believe, you need to follow, you need to receive. Whosoever comes. These things are written that you might believe Jesus is the Christ. Not only the Christ, but the Son of God. And that by believing, you might have life through his name. That's why all these things are written. Back in our text. Lost friend, don't quit listening. I am the light of the world. That's Jesus. He that followeth me comes unto me, believes in me, whosoever receives me. If any thirst, he said in John 7, if any thirst, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, it's so similar in thought, just a little variance. If you're thirsty and God is making you thirsty and you come to Christ and you receive Christ, you're satisfied, you're content. And from you flows those living waters. Jesus is the light of the world in our text. He that followeth him, comes unto him, shall not walk in darkness, but what? Shall have the light of life. Shall have, will possess it. It will be inside them. Just like receiving Christ in chapter 7, the Spirit of God comes in, flows from you. I'm the light of the world. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have the light of life. The light that brings life. You'll have the light, we could say, of the Holy Spirit within you. You'll have the light of the Spirit of Jesus Christ within you. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5, verse 4 and 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Brethren, talking about saved folks. Ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light. Talking to saved folks, those who know Christ, who have received Christ, who God has brought to Christ. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. I am the light of the world is the message of Jesus Christ. We very cautiously, maybe some would say disrespectfully, but we very cautiously say some would accuse Jesus of having preached a dud because of the result factor. Here we are preaching to you the most important message we say you're ever going to hear. And is it going to be considered, is it going to be rated as a dud, judged upon the results? God only knows. But I don't believe it's ever a dud to preach the message of Jesus Christ. Because whereas the Lord might not save somebody today from the preaching of that message, He might save them tomorrow. He might save them a month from now or a year from now by this message that they've heard. And that's just a polite way of me saying to you, my lost friend, you can't get away from what I've told you. You can sit there and endure it. You can get out of here as quickly as you can. And you say, ha, he preached a dud. He didn't get me. You can't get away from what I've told you. And you're just liable to find yourself opening up one day saying, I'm a sinner. God help me. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ died for me. And you're being blessed by the salvation of God. I hope that's sometime soon. I am come a light. Whosoever believes in me shall not abide in darkness. That's the message of Jesus Christ. It's not about attitudes. It's not about philosophies. It's not about teachings. It's about a person. It's about a person. The person is the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection for sinners. John 8, and I'm done. If you're here and you're lost, I'll put it to you this way. Listen. And see if you can't hear Jesus Christ saying to you, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus Christ is saying that to all of us. He's saying that especially to lost folks. And I promised myself I wouldn't get into it, so I guess I better keep that promise. But I will say this. It doesn't matter how many colored eggs you get, how many colored eggs you find out in the grass or out in the water in most places. Doesn't matter how many colored eggs you find. Doesn't matter how many little bunnies you catch and how many bunnies you decide you're going to raise. What you need is the person of Jesus Christ. And He is the light. He's the light of the world. Those that are following me will follow me, will believe and receive me, shall have the light of life. Where? Inside. You personally. Doesn't matter what the other person says. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ and He takes up residence within you. And that can happen this very moment. Let's stand. Invitation is open to anybody who feels the need to come.